may my speaking and all our thinking be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And the Lord repented of the evil that he sought to do to his people. In our reading from Exodus today, Moses is with God on the top of Mount Sinai. The people have been left to their own devices, and they have turned to Aaron, who has collected all their gold and jewelry and cast an idol of a bull calf for them to worship. And then their worship has turned to revelry. God sees what is going on. God is furious. We hear that his wrath waxed hot. That means he is really furious. Moses, God says, get back down there, leave me alone with my anger. After all I have done for those people, and now they betray me like this. I'm going to annihilate them. Moses stands his ground. And he reminds God of the promises that he has made to Abraham and to Isaac. And God repents of the evil that he sought to do to his people. God's faithfulness to his promises trumps any anger that he might feel. We are in just the second book of the Bible here. But the curtains have been opened on God's essential character. To use Winston Churchill's phraseology, God never, 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 never gives up on his people that he has made. He will always, 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 always keep the promises he has made. When churchgoers are asked for their list of favorite hymns, the one we sang right before the sermon is always near the top. In 1868, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is," was included in a new hymn book for the Anglican Church, Hymns Ancient and Modern. I had a little tiny one that I was required to keep in my suit jacket when I was in high school. The guiding force behind that hymn book was Henry Williams Baker. He was the rector of a little country parish in the middle of England, but he was chosen for the task because he was a poet and because he was an authority on the hymns that Christians have sung since the earliest days of the church. Henry Baker personally contributed 25 hymns, which were either ones he had written or ones he had translated from Latin or Greek. "The King of Love, My Shepherd is one that he wrote himself. It's a Christianized version of Psalm 23. Henry Baker died young. He was in his mid-50s. He was a bachelor, and he had no family to be with him at his death. But he did have friends. And the last words they heard him say were the words that he had written for the third stanza of his hymn. Perverse and foolish, oft I strayed, but yet in love he sought me, and on his shoulder gently laid, and home rejoicing brought me. He was dying. His life was passing before him. He was reminded of his pig-headedness. He was reminded of the times when he had been so stupid. But he was comforted by the thought that the shepherd would never, never, never give up on him, and indeed was joyfully bringing him home. What a way to meet death. Here's a simple sermon illustration that I found recently. One day, a farmer's donkey fell down into a well. The animal cried piteously for hours as the farmer tried to figure out what to do. Finally, he decided that the animal was old and that the well needed to be covered up anyway. It wasn't worth his while to retrieve the donkey. He invited all of his neighbors to come over and help him. They grabbed spades and began to shovel dirt into the well. At first, the donkey realized what was happening and cried horribly. And then, to everyone's amazement, he quieted down. A few shovel loads later, the farmer looked down into the well and was astonished at what he saw. As every shovel of dirt fell on his back, the donkey was shaking it off and taking a step up. As the farmer's neighbors shoveled dirt on top of the animal, he shook it off and gained another inch or two towards the lip of the well. Pretty soon, everyone saw what was happening, and they shoveled until the donkey stepped over the edge and trotted away to safety. We shovel dirt on God with every faithless, unbelieving, ungrateful, selfish action. But it doesn't bury God. God never, never gives up on us. He shakes off our dirt. That's the story of Easter. God isn't buried by our sinfulness. He rises. Let me talk about today's passage from Luke. Context is everything here. Jesus has just finished telling the parable of the banquet. That's the parable where the anticipated guests fail to show up. So the host says to his servants, "Go out into the highways and the byways of the city, and bring in the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, and they will be the guests at my banquet." And then Luke sets the scene for the gospel and the parables that we read today. Here come the guests. then drew near unto Jesus all the publicans and the sinners for to hear him. Don't you wonder why? What is it about Jesus that he seems to be a magnet for unsavory individuals? Luke's gospel is full of them. There are shepherds at Jesus' birthplace. Shepherds are outcasts. They are unclean. There is Levi and Zacchaeus, both of them lackeys of the Romans who are stealing from their own people. There's a prostitute that comes in off the streets and washes Jesus' feet with her tears. There's a murderer hanging on the cross next to him, begging for a favor. Why are these the people who are drawn to Jesus? We shouldn't romanticize Jesus' appeal. These people don't come to see him because he's charming and handsome. And they don't come simply because they're curious and have nothing better to do. They know it's not going to be comfortable being in his presence. After all, he is the one who calls sinners to repentance. But yet they come. Why? Do you know why I think they come? I think they come to check in on God. They're like children whose mother has taken them to the park to play on the swings. And for a while they play quite happily and quite independently, and then something sparks their anxiety and they run to the bench where Mom had said she would sit. They're just checking in. Are you still there, Mom? And Mom smiles at them. She doesn't have to say a word. They know it. I would never, never leave you or desert you. The tax collectors and the sinners are those who have led lives quite independently from God. In fact, they would hate to think that he could see what they've been up to. Mostly they hide from God. But then something happens, like Jesus coming to town. And they check back in. God doesn't scold them. God doesn't reprimand them. He simply says that he would never, 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 never leave them or desert them. I will never give up on you, says God. And some few are transformed by that experience of God's faithful love, and they become the disciples who will sacrifice themselves completely in the service of the gospel. Others, I suspect the majority, are reassured, and then they go right back to what it was that they had been doing. For his part, God would have liked them to repent, but God is satisfied with just a little. He's thrilled that they checked back in, and that's enough for him. And so the parables are told. God is like a woman who rejoices over a coin that she has lost. and found again. God is like a shepherd who loses a sheep and, having found it, carries it home with delight. Today we are remembering 9/11/2001, 15 years ago today, when very nearly 3,000 people were killed in the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center. Today is Patriot Day, an official day of national service and remembrance. Flags are to be flown at half mast. A moment of silence is to be held at 8:46, and we are asked to provide some service to our fellow man. In the weeks following 9/11/2001, significant numbers of Americans checked in with God. Attendance at churches and synagogues spiked. Some put it at 25%, some put it as much as 50%. People came to be soothed and to have their fears relieved. In a news story from 2001, Pastor Ed Young from one of Dallas's mega churches had 20,000 people in attendance right after 9/11. That was 6,000 more than he usually had. When asked to comment, he said, "I think when we are riddled by fear, when things fall apart around us, especially when we are struck at the heart of who we are, people suddenly respond and they turn to God and they ask those deeper questions. We want to get right with Him, and so we attend church." By November 2001, church attendance figures had dropped to where they had been before September. People had checked in. They had heard God say, "I will never, never, never give up on you." They were comforted, and they went back to doing what they had always done. A few. Just a few continued to come because of the comfort they had felt. I'm sure God would have liked all of those people to have continued coming to church. But I don't think God is angry at them because they didn't. If He was peeved, I'm sure that God repented of His anger. When He saw them come, it was like finding a coin He'd lost, like finding a sheep that had gone astray. And He rejoiced. Like Mom on the park bench, God is delighted every single time His children check in with Him. He'd like them to stay and have a cuddle. He is delighted when a few do just that. Amen.